Sam Vino. This is going to be a mini pod where we are going to take a look at the Suicide Squad.
Did a new movie come out?
Exactly.
Oh.
Not to be confused with Suicide Squad. This one has an indefinite article in front of it, and that's how you distinguish.
I really wish that there was like a pig in this film so it could be like the Sue Squad.
Are there other instances where movies were this and then the this?
I can't. Sequel? I thought about that and I can't think of anything.
There's going to be there are the Batman with Robert Pattinson. Mm-hmm.
I guess the opposite happened with Fast and Furious and the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, there was all sorts of games played with that. But I think the Batman is basically a hard reboot, is it not? Not so much a sequel.
Yeah.
And then you had the Wolverine. Well,
this is This is not exactly a sequel, they said.
But a soft reboot.
Yeah.
Slash standalone sequel. Mm-hmm. So.
But they did establish both Amanda Waller and Harley Quinn and Boomerang.
And Flag.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yes, Rick Flag.
Rick Flag.
Quite a few of the same actors, but perhaps with their characters tweaked at the hands of a different writer and director.
Yep.
And I would like to point out for the record that The Land Before Time produced a lot of sequels. So,
editor's note right at the top.
Moving along here. So The Suicide Squad, which debuted last weekend in theaters and on HBO Max, is, we were just talking about this, a soft reboot slash standalone sequel to Suicide Squad. This time, James Gunn, who directed the Guardians of the Galaxy films, was briefly let go from the MCU and was snapped up by DC pretty quick to direct these films. And so,
are you going to say why he was briefly let go?
He had some, and it was a controversial thing.
Some unsavory tweets.
Yeah, back a long time ago.
The late aughts, early teens.
Yeah, he had some takes that didn't age well.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, they were like jokes about not the thing he was talking about. I won't go into it.
It was, we're not here to discuss whether or not he should have been canceled or not. But
yeah.
No, I'm just.
They were not good tweets.
Yes. Yeah. They were brought back up and found to be undisnified.
Yes. And
not suiting the Disney image.
Yes. And so he was let go but later rehired. And in that interim, he was hired to direct Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad.
Yes, the Suicide Squad, yes. And
not to be confused with Suicide Squad.
Yes. And basically, when he was rehired, the MCU gave him their blessing, or Marvel Disney gave him their blessing to continue making this film before going back to do Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3. So, we're going to talk about this film. So, it's a soft reboot. Kind of has follows the same premise. It's kind of parallel to the first movie. It's like the same idea of a group of supervillains, kind of Dirty Dozen style, get assembled to do something good with a threat of death hanging over them if they either rebel or fail.
B, C, and, you know, D squad villains.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the A group of, you know, especially with no Joker on board. I mean, it's definitely not your primo villains, which is part of its charm, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
These are the guys in the Arkham Asylum people forget about that they're in there.
Yep.
So...
These are on the first floor of Arkham Asylum. Like, they're not really an escape threat. They're
just
like,
These are the minimum security guys.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, so these are a bunch of villains that are just getting fed cream corn in Arkham.
Except for Idris Elba. He seems kind of like a heavy hitter.
Wow, and they just seem to be A-okay with the cream corn.
Huh.
keeps them docile.
As it does all of us. Mm-hmm. So we got Rick Flag, played by Joel Kinnaman. I put down here, he's kind of an honorable military guy who kind of acts like a lifeguard at a
pool. He's the paladin of the bunch.
Yeah.
And he was in the first film.
Mm-hmm.
He's the moral compass that keeps the Suicide Squad going.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's not exactly a member because he doesn't have a bomb implanted in his head.
Yeah.
So he's their handler.
He's not a total scumbag.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie plays Harley Quinn.
And in the first movie.
Yes.
And second movie.
And, Birds of Prey. And it's like, I guess they kind of softened her character a little bit in this one. They kind of tinkered with her to not make her quite so edgy, apparently.
Well, and she also didn't have the Joker to play off of this one. So she was all much more independent.
So I went back and I watched Birds of Prey because I didn't watch it when it first came out. thinking that like, eh, why? But then when I was reading a bunch of reviews of the Suicide Squad, a lot of it was like, oh yeah, this builds off a lot of what's in Birds of Prey. Yeah. And I think they did lay a lot of good groundwork for her character in Birds of Prey by, you know, first off breaking her away from the Joker and then kind of building up her character as like a strong, independent, like Harley Quinn as a character of herself and not Harley Quinn as the girlfriend of the Joker.
Yeah.
Who in this iteration of the Joker fucking sucks. Oh. And I think that was a big part of it is they want to divorce, you know, the Joker from this piece of the DCU.
Yeah. Get her some autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think that, you know, it was so important that Birds of Prey laid the groundwork for Harley Quinn to become autonomous and then, you know, build this character so that they didn't have to have the shitty DCU Joker. No offense to Jared Leto. Mm-hmm. It just didn't hit like any other Joker.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think they wanted to take what worked, build off of it, and kind of scrape away some of the stuff that didn't. And I think James Gunn, a lot of what we talk about with our sequel episodes that we've talked about is that, you know, good sequels take the first movie and then they yes and it and they build off of it. Mm, yeah. He took what was given for Harley Quinn in this movie and he didn't focus the movie on Harley Quinn, but he yes anded with that character and kind of took it into a new place.
Yeah.
He definitely gave her like time to shine because she has one like Daredevil style like hallway fight, which is just great.
Yeah. And it introduced like Harley Vision where you see like flowers and birds mm-hmm. and like she's crazy, mm-hmm. unapologetically crazy. And I think that is the character essence that we really want to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rather than just like, oh, she's cool. And like, she's kind of like, we're going to use like some sort of like Andy Warhol punk look on her. You know, we're actually in this movie getting into her character and how she sees the world. And yet, like you say, like kind of get in her head and understand her more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, yes. And it's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed her performance a lot. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, she did great.
I enjoyed the entire cast.
Yeah.
I think this movie was really well cast and really well written. James Gunn knocked it out of the park, yeah. I think.
I agree.
The only parts sorry, Todd, you had more after the villains or did you?
I mean, we can definitely come back okay. in and out of it, but.
The parts, and I obviously this is a spoiler because we've all seen it and we're going in. I don't know much about Suicide Squad other than it's like anytime a writer hops on, he's like, oh, I love this villain that's not used very much. Can we shoehorn this character in and, you know, get to learn about him for a while? The staples I know of Suicide Squad are Deadshot, who was played by Will Smith in the first film, mm-hmm. and Boomerang, who was played by Jai Courtney, and he was killed very soon.
Right
and,
off the bat.
And yeah. I was not expecting it. But and you even saw Harley had recognition, and they had a little banter on the helicopter coming in. I was like, oh, all right, sweet, cool. And I like the guy, the actor playing him. I was like, oh, this is great. And I was like, wait, no, there's no fucking way he's dead. No. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't give a shit. The one other thing I thought was the most
literal version of a ham-fisted retcon just in the start of the movie is they literally just kill off everybody that mm-hmm. they did not want from the first movie.
Good old Flula Borg. And then who's the dude from SNL?
Pete Davidson. That's a gruesome death. He dies.
Yeah, he just got shot in the face.
Yeah. Gets his whole front of his face blown off.
He played Blackguard, and then Javelin was Flula Borg, and then the Weasel thing was James Gunn's brother, Sean Gunn, mm-hmm. uh-huh. who I don't know if he was actually a DC character, if they were just like, oh. And then there was Savant. We had several Guardians of the Galaxy cameos.
Uh-huh.
Michael Rooker was Savant in the beginning, and then, oh, God, I can't remember her name. She played Mantis. She was in the strip club, being one of the main like singer dancers in like 2 or 3 seconds worth of a scene.
Yeah.
And I know James Gunn was like, yeah, there was another Guardians of the Galaxy cameo in the film and nobody caught it at all. And I was like, oh, shit, I think I know what he's talking about. The other thing is, so Will Smith, I don't know if he didn't want to come back to do this film or if he was going to be, you know, asking for too much money or whatever it was.
I think he was too big and they didn't want to reprise his character.
They brought in Bloodsport, who in a lot of ways was the exact same character as Deadshot in the first one. He had
also a very cool movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He had a daughter that he was like trying to, you know, connect with or help in some way. I mean, they had different relationships, but to me, it was the same fucking thing. Like, I love Idris Elba. I don't know shit about Bloodsport other than I've read the comic where he shoots Superman with a kryptonite bullet. Ooh. And he had a much different costume. He was just like a dude in a wife beater, and he had like a mask on his head. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, this guy has leveled up and has all kinds of crazy guns and a whole suit.
Oh, his suit was awesome.
Yeah.
He was originally... in some of the artwork, he's shown to be Deathstroke, who's a completely different character, but also has like weird family drama.
Yeah.
And he was in the DC movie, the Justice League.
Yeah. Played by Joe Manganiello.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's weird because this is not a hard reboot. This is a soft reboot. So they're using Harley Quinn, who was in the Justice League universe. Right? The Snyderverse, if you will.
Yeah.
But they're kind of ignoring that the Snyderverse is a thing. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how they're doing this. They're not completely cutting out the entire... They're not starting all over. They're just kind of like selecting the pieces that they want to move forward. They're moving forward those pieces and then just sort of ignoring everything else.
Yeah. It's like the previous movies are like an ugly piece of furniture in the room that it's like no one talks about. It's still there. But yeah. Everyone to step around the ugly couch.
Yeah, they're slowly upgrading the room. Like, they're painting, they're changing the blinds, but they still have this ugly couch in there that they just haven't changed out yet. Mm-hmm. They're just waiting on.
It's still a part of the room.
I didn't realize that Sylvester Stallone was the voice of King Shark.
Which is so stupid.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you know, Vin Diesel was Groot.
Yeah, so I talked about this in the group chat. It was something that, like, a weird parallel to Guardians of the Galaxy is, why is Vin Diesel the voice of Groot and why is Sylvester Stallone the voice of King Shark? You could pay me to voice those characters, add enough sound effects and have it sound the exact same. And I would take way less than
Sylvester Stallone. I think what are you talking about, man? The name recognition, but I think they really want to hold like Vin Diesel in, you know, to play an actual physical character later on. The rumor for years was that Vin Diesel was going to voice Groot and then play Black Bolt in the Inhumans movie, who doesn't talk at all, and who he would be great.
Just double up.
Yeah. But,
it's kind of like how the voice actor for Jarvis in the first Iron Man didn't realize that later on he was going to become Vision. Vision. He's like, great. Paul now Bettany. I have to have my entire body painted red every day for 4 hours. This is great.
If he can't talk, how is Vin Diesel going to talk about family?
Jeez.
It's about family.
And then you had Polka Dot Man, who was Dalmatian. I don't remember the guy's
Dalmatian, but
Dalmatian. But he was also in Ant-Man movies as one of like Scott Lang's buddies to like help break him out of jail and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and
that's where also, I know him
from. He was in several different movies where they've just been, he was in The Dark Knight as the decoy Joker.
Oh yeah,
he's been there was some meme
it's
where
non-canon he's been now
so. In like six different comic related films,
man,
in different iterations.
Well, you could definitely see that James Gunn pulled some Marvel talent. He pulled some Marvel talent over.
Yeah, including Idris Elba.
Yeah,
and tons of people.
Yeah, is Idris Elba, has he been in the Marvel universe twice now as
Heimdall
two different characters?
And I don't know.
I want to say he was. I'm trying to think, but never mind. Not important.
And then you have John Cena as Peacemaker.
Honestly, one of the best characters.
In a short HBO Max series.
Yeah, like in 2022, we're going to have an entire show about Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Spoilers, he lives.
Oh, yeah. And then Ratcatcher was hilarious.
Ratcatcher 2.
Taika Waititi played Ratcatcher 1 and the father. And then the way they did her backstory was just so well, because
very well done.
They're showing them on that bus, and then with the window outside, they start like is looking outside, and then starting to think about, you know, telling her origin story.
The flashbacks are very well done.
The flashbacks I thought were great.
Yeah, and that's a testament to James Gunn and his skill storytelling.
And Milton, the whole joke about Milton out of nowhere. That got me.
Is that like a red shirt joke from Star Trek? Like, you know, who's Ensign Skippy? Where did he go?
The last thing I'll say is that the villain of this, Starro the Conqueror, was the first villain that the Justice League fought. The Justice League back then consisting of Green Lantern, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman. I think that's... Oh, and Martian Manhunter. So all of the Justice League minus Batman, Superman, before they were like, oh, this Justice League thing's working out. Let's put our two most popular characters in there.
Yeah.
But Starro is absolutely ridiculous and batshit crazy. It's a giant fucking starfish. But he's normally like flying and hovering over a city and then spinning those like, you know, spawn. Little death spawn over. And does not kill its host, by the way. So it constantly is taking over like several members of the Justice League or whatever. And then you have to fight a Superman that has a stupid starfish on his head.
But if he has a starfish, he doesn't have laser eyes.
That's true. He can't use laser vision.
All you have to deal with is like flying, super strength, super hearing, you know, frost breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing. That's no easy.
Problem. It's easy.
Yeah. I mean, he can still use x-ray vision through the starfish. But yeah, can you? You don't.
Also, by the way, it was Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. That was the other Idris Elba movie. That he is Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's not the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it is the Marvel movie.
Yeah. The second Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh. Which is non-canon. He was something... gosh.
Gross.
Come back to me.
Yeah.
Moreau.
Huh. Yeah. All right. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. No one remembers Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
No. So I don't remember it.
You're fine.
I barely remember the first one. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a movie we should do. Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Starro the Conqueror is a real thing. It's absolutely like, you know, comics are weird, batshit crazy. It's legit though.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing worked really well. I enjoyed it. I thought it's one of DCU's better movies so far.
Amanda Waller was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a really good job with her because they kind of put her in the back seat. They did not make the first one was very Amanda Waller forward. It was like, you know, Viola Davis was like a big actress that they wanted to like, you know, really have her shine. They kind of pulled her back. They humanized her with some of her like, you know, people on her team standing up to her essentially. I think they did a really good job of like kind of letting the movie breathe in spite of her presence.
It's like in the first film, she really drives the narrative with the flashbacks, reading everybody's biography
right.
That flashes up Deadpool style, like everything people have done. It's like she's kind of in the driver's seat of driving that momentum of the
plot.
Which
is the great thing about a sequel is you don't have to just completely do origin stories again.
Yeah. And I enjoyed that where this, we kind of hit the ground running with this one.
Yep.
Even though it's like, it's a reboot, soft reboot. It's like you still get that bonus of not having to explain who Harley Quinn is.
Yeah. We know, we get it. Yeah. She has her own movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it definitely worked in the movie's favor. It was a lot faster paced, a lot faster feeling movie.
So does the DC universe jump off of this? Does it kind of take this and run with it? Or are they going to do the same thing DC has been doing and just sort of like stumbling over the next movie and just completely losing momentum?
Lame movies.
They're just going to keep fucking it up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I don't expect much at this point. So
no.
But James Gunn has another movie on books for DCU, right? He's doing something with DC again.
I've heard that. I don't know if Marvel's going to allow that because he's back on board with making...
This sounds like it might be his last Guardians film.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Like, I would much rather have the Gunverse than the Snyderverse.
Yes.
100 absolutely. Times over.
Yeah.
Yes. This movie was so much better.
If they can get somebody that can steer the goddamn ship and fuck.
DC needs to stop taking themselves so seriously, like, and let somebody actually like yes and their own content instead of every time just like giving somebody a title and just be like, all right, you have this, operate in a silo, go like run with it, make a movie.
Yeah. I'm not feeling the whole, this is a symbol for hope. Like, I don't feel it from that. They're Superman. I'm like,
it's an S.
He's a great casted Superman, but he has a dog shit movie, several dog shit movies.
Yeah.
I
can't about blame Cavill for that.
No,
I can't blame Affleck either.
Cavill's great. Affleck again was a great, Bruce Wayne in the first 10 minutes of Batman versus Superman. And then the rest, I'm just been like,
yeah, But it's hard to blame him, though, when he's got that material.
Gal Gadot, great Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman 2, not a great film.
No.
You mean Wonder Woman 1984?
Yes.
Yep.
I thought that was terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They skipped 2 through 1983. So.
Yeah. I don't have much hope for The Flash, but we'll see. Aquaman was middling.
Yes.
Middling. Yeah, it was middling for mm-hmm. sure.
It was really...
Shazam?
Though.
Shazam was solid. I really enjoyed Shazam.
I've only watched it once, though. I don't feel like I've needed to watch it again, though.
Birds of Prey?
It was fun.
I thought it was fun.
Not a great movie, but fun. Good movie.
Yeah, it was a romp.
It didn't do it for me, because there was Black Canary, Huntress, and I don't know what other character there
Rosie
was.
Rosie Perez.
Rosie was great as...
I don't remember that villain.
Wouldn't she Renee Montoya?
Yeah, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
They just... The closer they adhere to the comics, it seems like that's how they win. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand deviating from that script.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can compare and contrast Marvel and DC and the way they're doing their movies. And, you know, I think Marvel just had such a good head start that DC has been trying to
catch up,
reinvent the wheel. And they shouldn't. They should do their own thing. They should, like, embrace the weirdness. And I think that's what this movie does really well.
Yeah.
Is James Gunn took all of the weirdness in DC and was like, let's put this in one movie and have a guy shoot polka dots at people.
Yeah, let's not be afraid that this is a comic book.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this movie so good is, like, mm-hmm. get weird with it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish they would do that with Batman and Superman.
Yep.
Yeah, weird with it.
Yeah.
Get funky. Rub some
stank. His villain is a penguin. Mm-hmm. The other guy's villain is like a floating brain. Like, come on, get weird with mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, have fun.
Yes.
Like, yeah. You know, even the original Christopher Reeve Superman, it has the great scene where he's running beside the train or whatever. It's like, you get that comic book kind of wonder of like a guy, a teenager figuring out he can fly.
Yeah.
And the kind of the fun that comes with that. You know, that's missing from these new Superman movies.
Yeah.
Totally gone.
Yep.
So they need that back. They need a filmmaker who can give them that back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think James Gunn did that.
Yes. I agree.
I need some goosebumps or some goose flesh off of like Superman saving somebody and then giving a tiny little speech.
Yeah.
I need a Captain America Chris Evans speech out of Henry Cavill's mouth.
Yes.
And I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you need the Russo brothers. That's what you need.
Oh, you need the Russos. Yeah.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
There we go.
This has been a mini-sode talking about Suicide Squad, just to get our thoughts and feelings. But tune in next time. Sean Jordan, Travis Budd. We'll have Taylor Owens with us next time. We'll talk about some sequels. We'll wrap that up, then we'll proceed to our next chapter, looking at something for the fall. Got some good stuff planned.
So, can't wait.
We will see you guys real soon.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Exactly. To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at toddwoffordmovies.com.